All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and we got the new year coming up. As most of you already know, Paul's had some surgery and was not able to lead the singing. Appreciate Randy filling in for that. Oh, also, before I forget, we got a new baby in the church, too. Rhonda's granddaughter, Kate, and Katie's here this morning. So appreciate them being here. Brand new baby. At least we got a parent to go with that baby. I don't know what happened to the ones with the other babies, but that's a good thing. Hebrews chapter 12, going to be there in a minute. Of course, the first Sunday of the year, and you know, it kind of felt odd. Last week, I had Brother Ray Lyons come and preach, and I appreciate him filling in. We thought we was going to be gone most of the week and just going to be really tough to get ready. And then went down to Snowville Baptist on Sunday night, and Pastor Neil Wood was retiring. And they had a little special thing, and some of the pastors got down there with him, and that's a big day in his life, just a change in his career there. But anyway, we're looking at the new year, and always a starting point for us. And this year was great because this is the year 2020. So I said, man, there's a lot of play on words there. 2020, the title of the message this morning is 2020 Vision for Jesus. And I figure I'm not the only one that has thought about this, having a 2020 vision for Jesus. 2020, I looked it up, said that's the ability to see objects clearly at 20 feet. If you can see something clearly at 20 feet, that means you have 2020 vision. I used to have that, but it's not that clear at 20 feet now. I got a little help from the doctor there. You know, I was thinking about that, and I want to talk about this thought. You know, about having a vision. I think a vision of Jesus for us today is more of a spiritual vision, an inward vision on how we get a view of Jesus. But, you know, there was a time when Jesus walked on this earth, and, you know, in Matthew chapter 17, after Jesus had taken James and Peter and John up to a mountain apart, and of course that was the transfiguration. He was transfigured, and when that took place, when he took them up there, they saw Moses and Elijah. But during the transfiguration, the Bible says that a bright cloud kind of overshadowed them, and Peter and James and John, they fell on their face to the ground, and they were afraid. And then Jesus, the Bible says, touched them, and he said, "Arise and be not afraid." So he touched them there. And then in verse 8 says this, it says, "And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." No man save Jesus only. Peter wanted to make a couple of little monuments, tabernacle things out of rocks, and wanted it for all three men. But God told him, he said, you know, that to hear Jesus, and they saw no man but Jesus only. And so, as I said, as we begin the year, and it's always a good starting point. I don't think you have to wait till New Year's to make any changes in your life, but it's always a good time to do that. You know, I think the greatest thing that we can do when we start moving into the new year, we might make resolutions about other things or many things, but the greatest thing that we can do is keep our eyes on or see Jesus only. Sherry and I were riding back from her mother's the other day, and we put in, I had on the Pandora thing on some gospel, Southern gospel type music. Of course, it's not all Southern gospel, but and sometimes Daryl plays this here on Sunday night for offering or something. But I was listening to the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And I said, boy, this is a go good with what I had to say. And I read the words there, and so I wrote them down. And I really wanted to kind of, this kind of goes along with, I would sing it to you, but I'm going to spare you that. I'll just read you the words. The Bible, that song says, "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior and a life more abundant and free." And then the chorus says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting he passed, and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are." And then it says the chorus again, and then it says, then it goes to say, "His word shall not fail you. He promised, believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell." And then listen to this chorus again. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And this is the line I like right here. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Man, I love that song. And when we think about the things of the world growing strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I want to say this to you this morning, that if you're saved and or you're claiming to be saved and the things of the world are still very attractive to you, you know, I know the cure for that, and that is to get your eyes upon Jesus. As he said, everything else will grow strangely dim. There was a book that John Maxwell wrote, and he was speaking about awareness, or at least from the spiritual sense or vision, speaking about vision, I'm sorry, from the spiritual sense. And this is how he defined it, and I actually want to use these 3 points to preach the message this morning. He said vision is awareness, the ability to see. Vision is attitude, the faith to believe. And vision is action, the courage to do. And I thought, wow, that's a great, great definition, great point, points I could use to speak to you about that this morning. So that's what I want to do. The very first point is awareness, the ability to see. You know, we live in today, and we should be aware, but we live in a video age. And I think it's always been a video age, but we got more of it now than we've ever had. We have video games. We have television now. We've got Facebook. We were talking about the Facebook Live. Now there's people at home. They can watch us on Facebook. You can see it. Not only hear it, but you see it. And the Bible tells us this, too, that the natural man walks by sight, but the spiritual man walks by faith. And so, you know, I wanted to think about that with this thought. You know, Satan knows that we also live in a video age. Let me read the text to you this morning too as well in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And here it is in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, and look here, and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I like the text, and I underline it in my Bible, looking unto Jesus. Not only is he author of our faith, but the Bible says, and a lot of people just get to the salvation part, but it says that he's the finisher of our faith, that he's a finisher. And so there's more to it than just salvation. Now we've got the Christian life to live, and the only way we can live it is looking to Jesus. And so, as I said, that video, the ability or awareness, the ability to see. Listen, Satan knows that the strength of sight. He knows the strength of the video age. You know, you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Satan came along and he wanted to tempt Eve. You know what he did? He showed her something. She saw, the Bible says that she saw that the fruit was good, good for food. She saw that. It wasn't just something that she talked about. I was sharing with the class this morning, a Sunday school class. We got into looking, we're looking in Matthew chapter 6, and we were talking about fasting just a little bit. And if you've ever done any fasting, you will realize very quickly how many advertisements on TV have to do with food. I mean, I'm telling you, you fast for a couple days, every time a commercial comes, you got to run out of the room if you're watching television. Man, it's a pizza pops up. It's a big old dripping cheeseburger pops up. I was looking the other day, I told them in Sunday school there was a sausage patty. It's a close-up of it frying on the griddle. And I said, man alive, I'm just looking for a biscuit to put it on, you know. I think there's food, man, and them advertisers know it. Man, you look at that thing, you can smell it. You know, I think that'll be the next TV innovation that they come up with. The smells will come through, you know. You'll start getting that too. But there it was. Satan knows this. And so what happened to Eve? She went down and she showed the fruit to Adam. She showed him that same thing, and he saw it right there. See, so we get tempted a lot of times by sight, tempted by sight. Satan himself tempted Jesus after Jesus had fasted for 40 days. You know, we know that one of the things he tempted him with was with food. He said, turn these stones into bread. He'd been fasting 40 days. There was a strong temptation. But also that he took him up on an exceeding high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all these kingdoms can be yours if you just bow down and worship me. I mean, there was a temptation of sight. Listen, it's not any different today. Satan tempts us with sight everywhere we go. There's things out there that lure you in and drag you into to sin. The world, listen, the world of advertising, they know that sight works. Listen, television's far more effective than radio is. They understand that television's far more effective than that. And so what they do, they put beautiful things up. If they're selling a car, they put up they get the car in the best possible light, the best scenario. You know, you got that car, don't have a dent in it, and they're riding around in the snow in the wintertime. You know, in the summertime, you ride down at the beach, and then they get this beautiful woman that I remember when I was a kid, they had one where you're riding in a, they got the guy on TV was riding in a convertible, and this beautiful girl come floating down out of the air and landed right in the passenger seat beside the guy. There's a reason they didn't float an ugly girl down there in the passenger seat beside. So now all the men thought, wow, if I go out and buy that car, I'm just going to drive around until she floats on in. You know, I mean, they get to your brain right there. So they know that. And, you know, when we think about this, I want you to think about this, especially for Christian people, particularly for Christian people. I mean, man, listen, ladies and men, too, it's the same way. That when you go out in the world and you dress a certain way, I'm telling you what, you know, there's some things that's appealing to the eye. Girls, you get them skirts on, it's way up to here, and you got the tops cut way down to here, and about half or three quarters of everything you own is out there in the world to see. What are you advertising? What are you wanting? What are you trying to do when you dress that way? Men, they get all them skin-tight things on. They get the tops on, and they, you know, they run around. The guy, 85 years old, got a muscle man T-shirt on walking around. I mean, man alive, you know, hold back, man alive. I mean, I don't even look in the mirror anymore now. You know, when I try to just avoid that, I hope it stays steamed. I don't put the fan on. I just let it steam up. And I don't want listen, man. I mean, what are you advertising, really? What are you trying to say? Advertisers got a motive. They got a goal. They're trying to attract somebody to buy. And listen, when you dress that way, ladies, what are you advertising? What are you trying to get somebody to buy? So we all know, either consciously or subconsciously, that there's an attraction by sight. And what we see has an impact on our life. And what we focus on affects how we live. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision. And that vision there means where there's no vision or revelation from God. There was a time in world history where there was a period of time when there was no revelation from God to people, and it says the people perish right there. Well, that word perish there literally means casting off restraint. Casting off restraint. Now, I want to tell you what, and the reason that the translators of the King James use the word perish is because this, listen, if you cast off restraint, you're on the road to death. You're on the road to, it's certainly a spiritual death and a physical death as well. And that's what we're looking at when we look at the world today. We're looking at a world that has cast off all restraint. We're not living in the days of the prophets now. We don't get a new revelation from God. We're living in the days of preachers and preaching the Word of God. And so we have the Word of God. And so there's a vision, or we get a revelation from God through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God today. And if there's not, if you don't, then we see the results of it in the world that we live in today, that the world is casting off all restraint, and no matter what they do and what they allow and what's going on, we will see the results of it, in other words, in the world today. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Stephen preached to the Jews, and the Bible says that they didn't like his message. You know what they did? They didn't like his message, and so what it is, it says that they stopped up their ears and that they ran. They hated it so much that they stopped their ears and they ran and they gnashed upon Stephen with their teeth. I mean, you got somebody ticked off. If somebody is hating your guts, if they climb on you and start gnashing on you with your teeth. And the Bible says that they took up stones and they were going to stone him to death. But the Bible says that he looked up to heaven and he saw Jesus standing next to God, to the right hand of God. He saw, that's all he saw. And I want to tell you something. Everything else became strangely dim. He didn't see the crowd gnashing on him with their teeth. He didn't hear the mob yelling to kill him. He didn't know what was going on. All he did was the circumstances around him melted away. And when we get our eyes upon Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, a whole lot of the drama and the things that go on in the world are going to become strangely dim. We're not going to see those things anymore. And it's the same way today as it was then. One of the things about not having your eyes fixed upon Jesus, we get easily fooled. We get easily fooled by this world that we live in right here. I thought about the story in the Bible. Sometimes there's some physical analogies that have to do with a spiritual effect. And we think about Isaac when he got old, and the Bible says that his eyes were dim. And so what happened was, God wanted, it was going to bless Jacob his own way, but him and Isaac and his wife decided to take it into their own hands. And so they got Esau to go out, or they got Jacob to go out. He killed a goat, and Esau was the firstborn, but Isaac got deceived because they took goat hair and they put it on the back of his hands, because the Bible says that Esau was a hairy man and Jacob wasn't. And so they put a little bit on the back of his neck, and they put some on the skin on the back of his hands, and they put his clothes on him, because we got smells is another thing that we can tell where we're at. And so what happened was Isaac got fooled, because Esau came in and said, Jacob came in and said he was Esau, and Isaac wasn't quite sure. But what happened? He rubbed the back of his neck, and he felt his hands, and he smelled his clothes, the smell of the field, the Bible says. And guess what? He put the blessing on Esau instead of Jacob. Now, God wanted it to go to Jacob, but it wasn't going to be through deception. It wasn't going to be through lying. It wasn't the method that God would use. We can fool our own selves sometime. The Bible says we're studying in Samuel, 1 Samuel right now on a Wednesday night Bible study. We went through this already, but when Eli was old, the Bible says that his eyes became dim. He couldn't see good. It was a physical picture of the spiritual condition of not only him, his sons, and his nation. It was also of the nation. And it even got to the point where he couldn't hear God. We know God came and talked to Samuel and called his name out, and Eli didn't hear a thing. Eli didn't hear a thing. And there's a lot of people that are claiming to be God's people today that you can preach till you're blue in the face and they don't hear a thing. And what they do hear, sometimes they get it twisted around where it doesn't make any sense. But he couldn't hear, because he was so far from God. And what had happened was Eli's eyes became dim. I'll tell you why. Because he overlooked the sins of his sons who were going to be priests. They were in the priesthood, and because they were out there in the world, and they were morally corrupt, and just like the world is today, they got out there with the world. But he overlooked it. He didn't call them out on it. He could have thrown them out of the priesthood that they were involved in, and should have thrown them out of the priesthood, but he didn't do it. And so what happened was he had fooled himself because he didn't have a clear vision. If you don't have a vision of Jesus, if he's not in your sight, I'm going to tell you something, you can be fooled by the world, and you can even fool your own self. But you look at the other side of the coin, old Moses. The Bible says Moses was 120 years old, and the Bible says his eyes weren't dim, and his natural force hadn't abated. And God took him up, and it wasn't going to lead the people into the promised land, but he took him up on the mountain, and it showed him. He could look out as far as he could see, and he could see a long way, because there wasn't nothing wrong with his eyesight. He looked out over all the world, all the land right there, and God said, that's the promised land right there. He was able to see that. Why? Because he walked with God. He talked with God. He believed God. The Bible says he talked with God as a man talked with another man face to face. He talked with God, so he had a vision of God. And now seeing Jesus, I'm going to tell you something about it. Seeing Jesus in a spiritual sense is a product of prayer and the Word of God. It's a product of prayer and the Word of God. You know those old Emmaus Road disciples? I love that story right around Easter. Man, that's one of my favorite things to preach on. Those guys were all dejected, and they're going down the road, leaving Jerusalem the day of Jesus, after Jesus had been crucified. It was actually the resurrection day. He'd been crucified a couple days before that. But they were walking down the road, and they were even tired. the Bible says, and they wanted to go turn aside, but this man come walking alongside of them. Guess what? It was Jesus. But they didn't notice it was Jesus. And he started, you know what happened? He expounded to them the scriptures. He started, Jesus himself, the living word, was giving them the written word. He was speaking the very word of God, telling them all things. They were all tired. And guess what? The Bible says that then God opened their eyes. He opened their eyes. I'm going to give you, but I'm going to tell you right after that, you know what? They didn't go, they wasn't ready to turn in and go, but they wanted to rest. They had constrained Jesus. Now, this is a great thing. Jesus was walking with them. And they said, don't leave. They held on to him. They said, hold, stay with us. Stay with us a little while. And but when that happened, it said he vanished out of their sight. And guess what? Boy, they got back up and they went right back to Jerusalem. They weren't sleepy. They weren't tired. They wasn't downtrodden. They weren't defeated. They weren't depressed. Man, they was excited because they had seen Jesus Christ himself. Boy, I mean, what a story right there. They got an eye. He opened up their eyes. What a great prayer that God would open up our eyes as well. That's something that we have to have. Happen. Another one of my favorite verses in the Bible is only Elisha's servant. Remember Elisha's servant? And man, he looked out and he saw the enemy out there. And a lot of times it's what, see, video world, right? What are we looking at? We go out here, we look at the news, we look at the political scene and everything that's going on, and we got our own political issues here in our own state, and then we look nationally, we look at the world scene, we look at all the things going on in the world. It's visual, man. I'm going to tell you what, it drags us down. And Elisha's servant, he looked out and he saw the enemy all around about. He said, Master, what are we going to do? Whoa, what are we going to do? He sounds just like the average Christian today, right? What are we going to do? Oh, my gosh. Oh, what are we going to do? Man, Elisha, he ain't sweating a load. He said, Lord, this is what he prayed. He said, Lord, he said, open up his eyes and let him see. There's more with us than there is with him. And it says that his servant's eyes was open and that he looked out there and he saw chariots of fire round about him, encamped all the way around about him. The army had stopped up. The army could see him. It's just he couldn't see him. Elisha could see him, but he prayed. He said, God, he said, listen, open up his eyes, man. And he saw that. And I'm going to tell you what, if there's nothing, if, you know, we have a lot of prayer requests in churches, and most of it deals with physical problems, and we got them. I mean, and it's okay to pray about them, but I'm going to tell you what, some prayers that we ought to pray. God, open up my eyes. How many of you think that you need to have your eyes opened up? I don't care how spiritual you are. How many of you think you have to have, you need to have, we need to have our eyes open just to see a little bit more clearly what is really going on in the world? Because I'm going to tell you what, it's like a constant vacuum. It's just pulling, pulling, pulling. And this world is pulling you and pulling you and pulling you. And you don't, and a lot of times we don't even know it. You know, a lot of times we're just sliding backwards. We don't even know that it's happening because it's so subtle. It's a subtle thing. And so how many of us say, Lord, open up my eyes and let me see what's going on in the world right there. So we got to have an awareness. That's the very first thing we got to have. The second thing we got to have, we got to have an attitude, the faith to believe. I thought about that little old Samuel. Remember Samuel's parents? They prayed. His mama prayed. She wanted a child. She didn't have a child, and she prayed and prayed and prayed, and I believe his parents were praying too. And she got that little child, and she said, Lord, I'm going to give him to you. I'm going to give him to you all the days of his life. He said, just as soon as he's weaned, I'm going to give him up. And of course, what happened? He's the one that she took him down there. She went through with her word. Boy, just think of the faith it took, Mom. We got all kind of little babies in here today. Y'all got little babies. Just imagine, just as soon as your little babies got weaned, that you took them down there to the priest and said, you know, and which represented God in the human form. They took him down there to the priest, to the temple or the tabernacle. And they gave their baby, given your child, to God to take care of. Can God do it? How many of you believe it? How many of you going to take your child and give him to God? Huh? No, so you don't believe it. How many of you believe God can take better care of your children than you can? Give them to God. Give them to God. I was sharing a story in a Sunday school hour this morning. I was talking to a guy, and he went to church and everything, and at one time he went to church, but he was out of church, and my wife and I witnessed to him. He put carpet down in our house. And he said, man, I haven't been to church in a long time because I got my kids in travel ball, and we're going every weekend, travel, travel ball, travel ball, travel ball. Ain't nothing wrong with travel ball. The only thing wrong with travel ball is you not in church. And he said, so he is out of church, and I tried to get him to see. I said, you're telling me that this has become more important than God. And it's great, man. Maybe my kid will grow up to be a ball player and be in the big leagues. Great, but what if he dies and goes to hell? Is it going to be worth it? Is it going to be worth it, man? And are you going to stand here comfortable before God one day and say, you know what, God, I'd have been a lot more faithful to you, but Vol was more important than that. I mean, is that going to be, and fill in the blank with anything. I ain't picking on sports. Ain't nobody loves it any more than I do. I'm just saying, man, is it, what, you know, we get so deceived, and so what we think of Samuel's parents, they had the faith, man, to believe. They could see. Faith is opposite of sight. They could see that they could trust God, that they could put their child in God's hands. Man, now listen, there's no better advice for you parents than putting God, getting your children to God. I'm going to tell you what, if I was raising a child and when we raised a child, I'd be at the altar every time there was an altar call praying for my kids. I don't care whether they was in church, out of church, saved, lost. If they were lost, I certainly would be at the altar. But even if they're saved, I would be praying for God's protection, praying for God's hand. I'd be praying that God would use them. I'd be praying that God would be more real in their life. I would be praying for my children. I would be praying for my spouse. I would be praying. I mean, this is something is that we can. What better advice could we have for the upcoming year than to put our children in the hands of God? You remember back when the Israelites were in the wilderness and they had committed sin. Guess what? This may be good news or new news to you, but I'm going to give you some shocking news in 2020 that God judges sin, that God does judge sin. And they had committed sin, and so what happened? There was these fiery serpents that got in the camp. Everywhere you went, man, you turn, you go to pick up a pot, somebody would get bit. You went to go in the house, somebody got bit. You jump in bed, somebody got bit. They were dying left and right because it was a judgment hand of God. But God said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to give you a way out. He told Moses, I want you to make a brass serpent and put it on a pole real high. Anywhere in the camp, you can see that serpent right there. And he said, this is the cure. If you get bit, there's only one cure. And you look at that serpent on that pole right there, that brass serpent. Brass always speaks of judgment in the Bible. Look at that brass serpent, you'll be healed. That's an act of faith. Did you believe God or not? I mean, if you get bit by a serpent, I imagine there was some hard head out there somewhere. Said, I ain't looking at it. I'm not going to look at it. Huh? I imagine if somebody died because they was too hard-headed to look at the serpent. There's only one way to be saved, and it's Jesus Christ. And there's people all over the world today that are dropping off into hell because they're too hard-headed to put faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about toting the Bible. I'm talking about putting faith in Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ. They're too hard-headed to do it, and they're going to drop off into hell. All them people, all they had to do was look. See, it was visual. They had to see. It represented Jesus. It was a representation of Jesus Christ. They looked, and they would live. And it took faith to look. It could be seen from anywhere in camp, they said. Anywhere you went. And it's the same way with Jesus today. Listen, Jesus can be seen from anywhere if you're just looking. Huh? You know, those old phrases we have, you know, can't see the forest for the trees. I mean, those where these things come from. Listen, if you're looking for Jesus, you can find him. I mean, he's not hard to find. It's not impossible to find. All you got to do is pray. All you have to do is look and have faith. And listen, if you'll look, you'll see him. And I want to tell you another thing. You cannot live without seeking him. You can't live spiritually, and you really can't live physically, because there's going to be an end to this life right here that's coming up one day. And then the third thing is action, the courage to do. Action, the courage to do. You know, listen, I've thought about this, man. Listen, there is probably nothing that I can preach on. If I picked a sin out and I'm going to say, look, this is sin. Although in the world today, listen, there's a lot that goes on in the world today and the world don't think it is sin. But I think with people around church, there's probably nothing I'm going to tell you that you're going to go, oh, wow, I didn't know that was wrong. You know, about everything I can say, right, you're going to understand, you know what's right and what's wrong is what I'm trying to say. And you know what you ought to do without somebody telling you what to ought to do. But sometimes people do lead, and the reason preachers preach on this, sometimes we got to have a little help just down the road. Somebody to give us that little note. I was one of them people, you know. I needed somebody to kind of, you know, if I was getting ready to jump out of an airplane with a parachute on my back, probably a little nudge would probably go a long way. I might be a little locked up in the hole there, you know. They get your foot on your back and shove you on out. That's the way you go. But, you know, sometimes we need that. And you know, I was singing about this when New Year's comes around, and on New Year's Eve they sing that song, Old Ang Syne. You know, you're kind of saying goodbye to the old year, right? You know, the old year's gone. We're kind of looking to the new year. But I want to say something to you as we say goodbye to 2019, and I'm talking to the Christian people. I'm not talking, if you're not saved, there's a whole lot you got to say goodbye to. But I'm talking about people that are claiming to be saved. And I want to tell you, as we look at the old year, there's some things that we need to say bye-bye to as well, along with the year. There's some places that we need to say goodbye to. Just say bye-bye. We're not coming to that place no more. There's some things out there that we need to say goodbye to. There might even be some people that you hang around that you might have to say bye-bye to as far as hanging out on a regular basis. I'm not talking about witnessing to them right there. I like one of those. I got the Facebook business, man. I'm learning how to do it. I still don't know exactly what I'm doing. You might get some of my stuff three times because I'm not even sure. Somebody had a little post on there. I think it was from Harold Vaughn. And he said, surround yourself with people on fire for God. I mean, boy, there's some good advice right there. Get around some people that's on fire for God instead of a bunch of worldly, godless society that we live in. We don't need to surround ourselves in the sense of, not talking about witnessing to them, but living with them right there. I believe there's some vices that people in churches now need to say goodbye to in 2020. Say goodbye to it in 2019. I want to tell you something. Me and my wife, we didn't have to drink our way into the new year. I didn't have to have no alcohol to say goodbye to 2019 and alcohol to get me going into 2020. I didn't have to do no dope to get me out of 2019 and to lead me into 2020. I'm going to tell you what, I didn't have to hang around with a bunch of godless people in a godless society to get me out of 2019 and to get me into 2020. I'm going to tell you what we did to get into 2020. We got on there, somebody on Facebook again, it's a good tool if you use it right. Brian and Dan, they posted C.T. Townsend, man, preaching. He had a service going on down in Georgia. And I said, man, this is great. So me and Sherry and my mother-in-law and her husband, we put it on, man, and we listened to some preaching, man, going right on into 2019. Man, I tell you what, it fired me up. It got me excited. I'll guarantee you I was happier than you were if you weren't listening to no preaching, man. I'm telling you what a way to come into the new year. We need to say goodbye to some of that stuff that's in our life that's taking your testimony and rendering you powerless as far as God is concerned, because you've quenched the Holy Spirit to the point that you can't do a cotton-picking thing as far as expanding the kingdom of God. We need to say bye-bye to the drama that goes on. I'm talking about Christians, man. You know, when I came along, they used to get on you if you put somebody's business in the street. Now we got media outlets that we can put everything out in the street. And everybody in the world, we're so overcome with problems, strife. It's like there's an addiction to it, man. I mean, people got to have it. If they ain't stirring in something, they're just not happy and they want to stir it up. I think we need to say goodbye to that. As God's people, we need to say bye-bye to that. You know, old Peter, man, when you think about strife, Peter, when he had his eyes on Jesus, he walked on the water. But when he started looking at the storm going on all around him, he started sinking. And the average Christian today is not looking at Jesus. They're looking at the storm. And that's why they're drowning. They got their face all drawled up like they ate a green persimmon somewhere along the way. And everything's always just preacher, what are we going? I just want to see somebody walking in victory in 2020, man alive. I don't want to be with a defeated army all dragging along. Oh, man, oh, we're barely making it right now. I mean, you know, we're just barely getting by. I want to see somebody that's got victory in their life and get around that person right there. I'm going to tell you what, like I said, that song says, put your eyes on Jesus and everything else becomes strangely dim. I mean, you're not looking at those other things. And I'm going to tell you another thing we need to say bye-bye to as we go into 2020 is say bye-bye to all the cotton-picking excuses that we got, why we can't serve God, why we can't be faithful, why we can't come to church, why we can't do nothing for God. I tell you what, people can milk a hangnail for months, man. I mean, live, they get a hangnail, they got a cast all the way up to their shoulder walking along, and every time you see them, how's it going? Oh, I'm gonna hang now. I mean, we got everything that goes on, we milking it down, and there's this reason and that problem and this trouble and excuse and excuse and excuse, and like I say, excuses, reasons are just disguised. There's reasons and excuses, let me say, and they're never usually the same. They're never the same. There's the reasons and the excuses. And so listen, man, we need to quit quit lying to ourselves and quit lying to God. And what we need to do is just be honest with ourselves, get our eyes on Jesus, pray God will open our eyes so that we can see our own lame excuses. Man, listen, this is it. People put a lot of these spiritual quotes on Facebook. Crying out loud, they post them on Facebook while we're at church. People that's supposed to be child of God, it tells you, you're not smart enough to know it. It's going to tell me you did it 2 hours ago when it's 2 hours after church and you wasn't in church. I mean, I understand if you're sick and you can't get there, but if that's not the case, I mean, man, alive. It don't matter. You can post them till you're blue in the face. You got to live it. Huh? We got to live it. It doesn't matter how many quotes, you know, Jesus ain't going to get you. I get up to heaven. Well, Lord, I'm saved. Look how many quotes I put on Facebook right here. Yeah, you didn't live a single one of them. Huh? I mean, it's not going to make any difference. You just got to come clean. You got to come clean with God. You got to be, you know, you got to be honest with God. Give me a little help there. I was looking on, Brother Harold's got some good stuff. You don't look at something on Facebook good, or Harold put something on there good. He's got a blog on there, The Cleansing Protocol. What's needed if you're going to worship God? What's needed if you're going to come to God? Come into God's presence. And if you're going to come into God's presence, and you're going to see Him, we have to be honest with God. We got to be honest with ourselves. Psalm 24, verse 3 says, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse 20 in Psalm 24 says, Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? Huh? It's somebody that got honest with God. Say, God, listen, man, God's not looking for perfection, but He is looking for honesty. God, here I am. You know I need to say bye-bye some stuff. I know I need to have a clean heart. I know I need to have a pure heart. Harold put it this way. He said it's going to be, we need to have judgment day honesty. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you who can see, who doesn't have a vision problem. It's God. God doesn't have a vision problem. He sees it all, and He can see the heart behind it, the motive behind it. Let's put away our excuses, disguise His reasons, confess to God. Let's start the new year off right. Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for...